Turning again to that passage we read earlier, please, to Joshua chapter number 23, with God's word open before us, let us bow together in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We rejoice, O God, that Thy word is truth, and that it is forever settled in heaven. And Father, we just pray for the blessing upon Thy word of God to all our hearts and our souls today. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power, we pray, the power of God. Give help and enablement in the utterance, Lord, of Thy word, that we might make known the mystery of the gospel of Christ, that we might preach the whole counsel of God, and that Thy word would be with power to the strengthening of every saint of God, to the salvation, O God, of sinners, and to the glorifying of Christ. Answer prayer, O God, and abide with us, we pray. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen. Now, Joshua chapter number 23, it contains the second of Joshua's farewell sermons to the children of Israel. And this was really a sermon warning them against apostasy. Now, 20 years had passed since Israel had entered into the land of Canaan. Joshua himself was now an old man. And in his Christian life, Joshua had maintained a consistent walk with God. He began well for God, and he ended well for God. He could say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But with the onslaught of old age, he knew that his time for serving God on earth was drawing to a close. He could say in this very same chapter to the people of Israel in verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He knew his time, his hourglass of time, was swiftly drawing to an end. And in the even tide of life, Joshua's chief concern was for the spiritual well-being of the nation of Israel. His burden was that they would maintain their walk with God. With the passage of time, Joshua knew that within Israel there would be that ever increasing tendency to forsake the Lord and the Word of God and the ways of God. Therefore, in this chapter before us, he gathers all the people, the nation together, and he preaches this sermon to them, warning them as a people, as a nation, about the awful ruin and the awful consequences of apostasy and backsliding amongst the people of God as a nation. You look at verse 2 of the chapter, it says, and Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. He gathers the people together and then he preaches to them the sermon that we find in the rest of this chapter, warning them about apostasy, the ruin and the consequences of backsliding amongst the people of God. Now, what is apostasy, dear people? Apostasy is a departure by God's people from the things of God, and particularly from the Word of God. And mine is one of the marks of the end times. The Bible says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's really what apostasy is, a departure from God and from His Word. When we think of a person who is apostate, we must be careful how we use that word. That word apostate really means someone who deliberately and willfully rejects the gospel and is opposed to the gospel and is not saved. That is what an apostate is, one who rejects the gospel, who opposes the gospel, and one who is not saved. Nevertheless, we must also say that the spirit of apostasy can affect God's people and the church of Christ. And what is the result of that? The result of that amongst God's people is carelessness, hardness, indifference, coldness, neglect, backsliding, departure from the things of God. And no Christian and no church is immune from that falling away. Did not Paul say to the church at Corinth, "Wherefore let him think if he standeth, take heed, lest he fall"? That being so, it is important then for us who are saved to give due consideration this morning to the sermon of Joshua, warning against apostasy and its effects amongst the nation. And in this sermon here of Joshua to the nation of Israel, warning against apostasy, he gives a fivefold deterrent against that spirit. And it's that deterrent against apostasy from this sermon of Joshua I want us to look at and to consider in particular this morning. First of all, we can say today that apostasy is deterred by the praise of God. In this sermon, Joshua seeks to stimulate Israel's praise of God by reminding them as a people of what God had done for them as a nation. In verse 3, he reminds them how God had overthrown their enemies. He says, "And ye have seen all that the Lord your God have done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." He also reminds them of how God had given them the land of Canaan as their own possession in verse 4 of the chapter. He says, "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward." He reminds them there that the land was their inheritance. It had been given to them by God. You go down to verse 9 of the chapter, he reminds them there how God had given them power to conquer their adversaries, even though they were vastly outnumbered. For in verse 9 of the chapter he says, "For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day." And in all of this he was reminding them of how God had blessed them. And by the reminder of these wonderful blessings, departure from the Lord among them as a nation would have been hindered and would have been discouraged. Oh, likewise, dear people of God, this morning can I say to you, believer in Christ, one of the ways that apostasy and backsliding can be deterred in our lives as God's people is for us also to consider and to praise God for His blessings and His bounties to us. It has been said of the Christian that we should always be wearing the garment of praise, not just waving a palm branch of praise now and then. And praise should mark the life of the Christian for all God's bounty and blessings to him. The psalmist says that the praise is comely for the upright. And dear people of God, you and I, we can praise the Lord today for our salvation. And what we have in God's salvation, we have the pardon, the forgiveness of all of our sins through the blood of Christ. The Bible says of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of all of our sins. We can praise God today that in our salvation, with power and grace to serve the Lord. The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In our salvation, we have the promise of a place in heaven. The Bible says the gift of God to the believer is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In our salvation, we have peace with God. We are reconciled to God. We're no longer an enemy of God. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear people of God, in light of such wonderful blessings, how can we even contemplate departure from the Lord and from the things of God? Yes, the praise of God is a deterrent against apostasy and departing from the Lord and the things of God amongst God's people. But secondly, this morning, we can see also from this sermon here of Joshua that apostasy is deterred by keeping God's holy word. Look at verse 6 of the chapter. Notice what he says to them. He says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." And there you see from those words, Israel were to be courageous and standing up for God's word. He says, be very courageous to keep God's word. Notice also there that they were to keep all God's word. Joshua says, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. They were not to pick and to choose when it came to God's word for their lives. Oh, child of God, this morning, can I say that you and I are to resist the pull of apostasy and backsliding and departure from the Lord? Then we must hold fast to God's word and to the Bible in these days in which we live. It has rightly been said that all backsliding begins with dusty Bibles. That's true. The Bible says that the fear of man, that it bringeth a snare. And we're not to let the fear of man hold us back from doing what the Word of God says and what the Bible teaches us. Turn over to the New Testament, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and to the chapter number 3. And look at the last two verses of this chapter. Paul writes not only to Timothy, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to the church of Christ and to all God's people, whoever they are, wherever they live. He says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Notice how Paul begins that verse 16. He says, "All Scripture." And people, let that be a lesson to each one of us. All the Word of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is important for us to live by and order our lives by as the people of God. I'm sure all of us in our life have maybe seen a child picking its way through its dinner. It eats maybe the nice things, the meat and maybe the potatoes, but when it comes to the vegetables, well, they're scraped to the one side and they're picked through and they're left to the one side. The child picks and chooses as it eats through the dinner. You know, dear people, we're not to be like that when it comes to God's Word. We're not to pick and choose, so to speak. All the Word of God is important for us in our lives. There was once a young girl. She went to a Sunday school in Belfast. She was saved. And her Sunday school teacher gave her a Bible as a gift to her for her to read and to be guided by in her life. And that young Christian girl, a young child, loved the Bible that she was given. She read it. And she sought even to witness of it to her parents, even though they were unsaved. And in the course of events, that young girl took ill. And she was dying. And she asked for her Sunday school teacher to come and to visit with her on her deathbed. And as she spoke to her Sunday school teacher, she spoke to her teacher about her love for the Bible that she had given her and the Word of God. And this is what that young girl said about her Bible. She said these words: "Precious Bible, what a treasure does the Word of God afford. All I want for life or pleasure, food and medicine, shield and sword, let the world account me poor. Having this," her Bible, she said, "I ask no more." She loved the Bible. She loved the Word of God. Dear Christian, what did David say about God's Word? "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Oh, may that be our testimony as well as the people of God. Yes, apostasy, departure from God is deterred by keeping God's holy Word. Look again at Joshua chapter 23 in the third place. Notice something else that Joshua preaches here to the people. Apostasy is deterred by devotion to God. Look at what he says to them in verse 8 and verse 11 of this chapter 23 of the book of Joshua. He says, "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." Look at verse number 11. He says, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." There Israel were being instructed to maintain their fellowship with the Lord and their love for the Lord. Can I say, brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are to refuse the pull of apostasy and the tendency to backslide as a people, then our devotion to Christ must be fervent. It must be protected. My in cleaving to the Lord and maintaining our fellowship with the Lord, we must as God's people avoid anything that would hinder or mar our fellowship with the Lord and our life as God's people. Dear people of God, that means you and I seeking to live and to walk as God's people in the center of God's will for our lives, day by day. You remember one of the petitions that Jesus taught the disciples to pray in what we call commonly the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 10, he quoted these words. He says, "To his heavenly Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there he was teaching the disciples to pray and to yield to the will of God for their lives. Dear people of God, that ought always to be our prayer daily as God's people, that we will walk and that we will live as His people in the center of the will of God. You know, a Christian can get out of the will of God by a wrong choice, a wrong decision, a wrong step. And that's the devil's work. He wants to take His God's people out of the will of God, out of the center of God's will. And you and I as believers need to pray day by day that God would keep us in the center of His will, so that our fellowship with the Lord might be strengthened, that it might be maintained, that we might cleave unto the Lord. That means be joined to the Lord, hold fast to the Lord. Also, our love for Christ must be maintained. It must be strengthened. And again, sadly, the love of God's people for Christ can wane. That is a fact. Remember what the Lord said to the church at Ephesus? He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Their love for Christ was not what it should be. Their love for Christ was not what it once was. There was a departure from their first love. On the other hand, think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to God's people in the city of Rome. He could say, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Think again of what he said to the church at Corinth. He could say, "The love of Christ constraineth us." And dear people of God, if our love for Christ is not to end, we need to pray daily as God's people for our hearts to be filled with God's love by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a working up of some human energy, no. It's the workings of God in our life and soul through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to the Christian in the little book of Jude, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." And people, that's something you and I should be praying for daily in our lives and in the lives of our fellow believers, that God would keep us in love with Himself. That God would keep us near the cross, that the love of Christ to us and salvation would ever be before us day by day as God's people. You read the end of Ephesians chapter 3 when you go home this morning. That was something Paul prayed for in particular for the believers in the city of Ephesus. You think this morning of an example of a husband and wife. When their love for each other is strong, their marriage also will be strong. And together they'll face all the difficulties and all the problems of married life and home life and life in general. Nothing will pull them apart. When their love for each other is fervent and strong for each other in their marriage bond. And likewise, dear people of God, when our love for Christ is strong, we will be given grace to overcome temptation to depart from the Lord and the things of God. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love. The Bible says love is as strong as death. Turn your Bible over to 1 Corinthians and to the chapter number 13 and look at what Paul says here about the matter of Christian love and Christian charity and its great power. He says in verse 4 and verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 7, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Such is the power of love. Look at what he says in verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. This was Joshua's counsel to Israel. To maintain their love for the Lord. To prevent them from drifting away from the things of God. And how you and I as God's people need to pray that we'll have that fervent charity in our hearts and in our souls day by day. Toward the Lord and toward the things of God. Yes, apostasy is deterred by devotion to the Lord. Notice something else from Joshua chapter 23 here also. Apostasy is deterred by separation from things that are opposed to God. You look there at verse number 7 of Joshua chapter 23 and notice carefully what Joshua says. There you see how Israel were not to keep close company with the Canaanites. Look at the beginning of verse 7. He says, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. Notice something else further on down there in that verse 7. The Israelites were not to become involved in the false worship of the Canaanites, nor were they to promote that worship in any way. Look at what he says to them there in the middle of verse 7. He says, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Then if you go down to verse number 12 of the same chapter, you see something else. Israel were not to marry into the Canaanites. Look at what Joshua said about that in verse number 12. He says, else, if ye do in any wise go back, which turn away from the Lord and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. And he was warning them against marrying into the ungodly Canaanites. That was something God forbid Israel to do. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and to verses 3 and 4, and you'll see that command for yourself. Moses says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. They will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy these sons. And these were things that Israel were to separate from. Dear believer in Christ, if you and I are to resist the pull, the spirit of apostasy and backsliding, then our lives as God's people must be separate in every respect from the ungodly, wicked ways of this world. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, love not the world. It says, be ye not conformed to this world. The Bible says to the Christian, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, someone has rightly said that the way of sin is downhill. And those who have fellowship with sinners cannot avoid having fellowship with sin. That's what happens when God's people live close to the ungodly, wicked ways of this world. And I would counsel you, dear believer, especially young people, seek out the company of God's people, the redeemed of the Lord, not the ways of this world. This world is no friend to the Christian in any respect. Yes, we are to turn our backs upon the evil ways of this world. Also, as God's people, we must separate from all worship that is contrary to the Word of God and is away from the standards of God's truth. You remember what is said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 17 to the Christian. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Can I say, dear people of God, you and I as believers should have nothing to do with worship that is contrary to God. In particular, in this age in which we live, worship that is liberal, away from God's word, modernistic, ecumenical. Also, as God's people, we should never countenance or give credence in any shape or form to the blasphemy and the idolatry and the idolatrous practice of the Roman Catholic Mass. The Christian should be separate from all worship that is false and contrary to the word of God. And also, as God's people, we must not marry the ungodly. We must not marry the unsaved. The Bible says to the Christian in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 4, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The unequal yoke in marriage is a sure way to backsliding and to apostasy. You remember Solomon, man noted for his wisdom, and he married at the end of his life ungodly women. The Bible speaks to you about Solomon. It says, they turned his heart away from following the Lord. My over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 39, the Bible says the Christian is to marry only in the Lord. The believer is only to marry the believer. The believer is not to marry someone who is unsaved, who is an unbeliever. I would say to young people, especially you who are saved in our meeting this morning, looking for a partner for life, realize this, the Word of God says, not James Porter, not the Free Presbyterian Church, no, the Word of God says, you're only to marry another Christian. You're only to marry somebody who's spiritually compatible with yourself. And also, as God's people, let us say this, you and I have a great responsibility to pray continually for our children, to pray for our young people that are saved, that God would lead them and guide them and direct them to godly partners in life. That's our responsibility. But notice something else here from Joshua chapter number 23. Apostasy was deterred by a remembrance of its price. And if Israel went away from God and turned their back upon God, they would pay a great price. In verses 13 and 15 and 16, they would lose power over their enemies. They would lose protection from their enemies. They would lose the possession of their land. They would lose peace with God. Look at just the end of verse number 16. It says, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. Ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. You know the price of apostasy? And the price of backsliding among God's people is high. It's very, very costly. You think of Samson today, noted for his strength. He broke his vow before God as a Nazarite. And he was taken captive by the enemy. He was bound by the enemy. His eyes were put out. He lost his vision. He lost his strength. And he lost his testimony. What a warning that is to us all as God's people. Oh, Christian, we do not turn away from God and the consequences are nothing. We turn away from God and His Word and His ways, His work, His cause and His kingdom. There's always consequences. There's always a cost. There's always a price. And dear child of God, in light of that, you and I as believers should be praying continually with the spouse and the Song of Solomon, draw me. And we shall run after thee. We should be praying that God would draw us out after God. The Bible says, until the Lord comes, or to the Lord calls us home to glory, we're to stand fast in the Lord, not to turn back. The Bible says to the Christian, if thou turnest back in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. I'm sure you may have known and read about Lady Jane Grey, a young Christian girl, devout for God, a strong Bible-believing Protestant. She was beheaded for her faith when she was just 16 years of age, for her love for Christ and the things of God. And as she was going out to the executioner's block, our recitation before all the people was the words of Psalm 51. Then she witnessed to all and sundry around her of Christ her Saviour. The last word she uttered before her soul went into God's presence was, "Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit." She was faithful unto death, even a young girl of just 16 years of age. People of God, that's the testimony you and I are to follow. That was the burden here of Joshua for Israel. That they would not turn back. They would not turn away from the Lord. And from the work that God had given them to do. And the heritage that He had given to them as the people of God. And the Bible says one of the marks of the end times amongst the professing church is this. The love of many shall wax cold. That's Christ's own word. That's a prophecy of Christ. Oh, dear people of God, here in Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church, let us not be found amongst that many whose love waxes cold and drifts away from the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved, dear friend. Oh, if you're to be right with God, saved from a lost eternity, know your sins forgiven, then you must repent of your sins personally before God. Come by faith to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal.